Thank you so much, my brother, Pastor Dwayne, and my sister, Pastor Kendra. Pastor Kendra's name was tricky for me, but I thank God that I'm coming to learn how to pronounce your name. I bring greetings from Uganda, my wife, Ruth, and the ministry, the network, the pastors, so they send greetings to you all. Some of you who saw me in October might think that, Lily, does this boy go back to Uganda? Or he just hangs around in the other state and then he comes back? Anyway, but I want to tell you that in January, I went back, and in January, we received Apostle Alan and Rebecca and Apostle Patrick from Kenya, and we had a wonderful ministry. My sister, where is my sister who gave us testimony? Yeah, she needs to know that Uganda is one of the nations.
We'll tell her.
You tell her. Yeah, it's just not only Brazil, but I was requested to talk about spiritual warfare. This is a wider subject, which I cannot exhaust now, but I want to thank Pastor Dwayne and Kendra and the leaders for the opportunity you have given me, at least to put in a brick on what already has been established, spiritual warfare. And because I was requested earlier, and when I've been thinking, writing, studying, and then coming up with some few points. But with just these few minutes we have, just allow me to come from this angle. I'm going to be more informative. I'll be giving you more information relating to how we believe in Uganda, what spiritual warfare is. And these are some of the questions which came into my mind when I was looking at the spiritual warfare. These questions, of course, there are many. One of them is, can any country go to battle field where there is no an enemy? The answer is no, because there is no country which does that. Another question, this is the second question. What is spiritual warfare? What is spiritual warfare? Question number three. What went wrong? Because when you go back in the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings, whatever God created, he saw it good. Everything was good. He created the garden. He put Adam in the garden. And everything was good. What went wrong? That is another question we need to address. And to understand better spiritual warfare, there are about five doctrines we have to address. Not at depth, but at least to know a bit of it. Like the doctrine of man, if you are to understand the spiritual warfare and you don't wage a war between one another, you need to know who a man is. A man is a spirit. This hand belongs to me, the spirit who is in me. So we need to know that. Also, we need to know the doctrine of the angels, because even the angels are spirits. We need to know also the doctrine of Satan and demons, a bit of it. I've met some Americans, and they say that demons are in Africa. But this morning, I want to tell you, demons in America, they put on jeans. And in Africa, they put on birds' feathers and back cloth. So even in America, they are demons. It's just only the way they up, they demonstrate themselves. So if you don't understand that, then you might neglect. We also need to know the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Because this week, as we are heading to celebrate the victory of the empty tomb, we need to know somebody who has given his life to Christ. Which position does he fight from? Does he fight from a position of defeat or a position of victory? We also need to know the doctrine of the church. What is the church? And how powerful is the church? How does God look at the church? Say amen. So let me try to answer some of those questions, and then I think I will be done. So what went wrong? I think I will major on that mainly. What went wrong? God created angels. And Lucifer was among the angels. When you read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, the Bible says, "How have you fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of morning? You have been thrown down to earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the most high." So Lucifer was the leader of the worship team in heaven. And then he looked at how they were worshiping the living God. He desired that to share the glory and the honor of God. And because of that, Micah, the archangel, drove him and a group from heaven. And when he drove them, they were thrown down on this earth. Remember, angels are also spirits. They can walk in human bodies at some times, according to the Old Testament, and even today, but they are spirits. So that is the beginning of what went wrong. So we have, on this world, we have we have Satan and his demons going all over, you know, influencing us and away from the will of God. That means God had a kingdom, and still we do have Satan's kingdom. So you see two kingdoms fighting one another. And all these kingdoms, they operate spiritually. Because anything you see, before you see it physically, it always starts from the spirit, from the spiritual realm. So that's where the beginning of the battle. It didn't stop there. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, God said that let us create man in our own image, which meant that God created everything when it was okay, when it was good. But something went wrong. God gave man dominion. So when we are talking about the image of which and the likeness of God, which God created man, that is, of course, the spirit. And man was perfect. And God told man, have dominion. But today, you can see that the plants which we are supposed to have dominion upon, and those plants are the one which are having dominion to us. When you talk about drugs, things like drugs and whatever, you will see that God gave us power to have dominion of all creation. So something went wrong. Then in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God told man after before that, because whatever God created, like when God formed man in Genesis chapter 2, he formed man when he was perfect. But in the book of Genesis chapter 3, Satan deformed man. And when Satan deformed man, God devised a plan to transform man. And there was a meeting in heaven, and heaven asked, whom shall we send? And Jesus said, send me. So Jesus came to transform man. There are three words there. Formation, deformation, transformation. Deformation. All of us were born in that way, deformed. Especially myself, I don't know you. But the time I was born, the time I got on this earth, I started walking my way to hell. I don't know your side, but my side, I started walking the way to hell until 1986, when I was born again. And then I turned my side to walk towards heaven. So that process of being transformed, there are many challenges to that. Why? Because it is always easy to obtain other than to maintain. It is easy to get married, but to maintain marriage is not easy. And I'm talking from experience of 36 years in marriage. But imagine that is easy when you are coming in the aisle, you know, to be wedded. That is easy. But to maintain marriage, even getting children is easy. But raising them in the fear of the Lord, especially in Africa, is not easy. In America, it might be easy. Why? Everything is here. You have cars, you have money. But in Africa, it is hard. Say amen. So, the process of transformation, because the devil or Satan and his angels, they want us. So there is a battle there. There is a spiritual battle which we don't see, but it is there. And of course, even Jesus Christ and his kingdom, they are also contesting us. They want us. So that is what is called the battle. That is what went wrong. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God, after formation of the garden, God formed a man, and he put man in the garden. And he told him, tend this garden and keep it. That was instruction. Instructional. But why did God tell man to keep the garden? Don't you think that there was something to keep? Because when you read the book of Ezekiel, I think, or either Ezekiel or Isaiah, it talks that Lucifer was chased from the garden. So he was the occupant of the garden at one time. Now he has been chased away, and then they have brought another somebody, man. So God was very careful. He told the man, tend this garden and keep it. And I'm sure that Adam did his part, but I think he fell into passivity at one time. And all those caused problems. Say amen. Another problem, I'm talking about what went wrong. Once upon a time, God visited Abram. He visited him at his father's place. And he told him, leave this place. Leave your father's place, and I will make you a great nation. That is Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 up to 4, if you are writing. God was careful. He told Adam, I will make you a great nation. Nation, not nations. It was singular. Abraham ended up making two nations. Two nations from one father and two mothers. And these nations are fighting one another. When you hear the spirit, when you hear the war between the Jews and the Arabs, that is a physical battle. But there is a spiritual battle there, which was originated by our father in the faith, Abraham. God told him that he's going to make a great nation. He made two nations. And every time I pass through customs and I do my hands like this, I'm reminded of the challenge which Abraham did. Praise the Lord. It is a physical battle, but anything physical, it begins with a spiritual battle. And any person who blesses the other nation, he becomes an enemy of the other nation. You understand? You understand? Are you following? That is why the Arabs are enemy of America. You remember the 9/11? Yeah, you remember that? Why? Because you support their enemy. But they came from one father. The father is Abram. It's so amazing. Say amen. So, this takes us to Jesus Christ, the Transformer. When Jesus came, first of all, he was his God. He's a son of God who came in the form of man. But people hated him to that extent. The king by then asked this question. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Messiah?" And all of them said, "Jesus." It's amazing. And that was by then, and even right now, people always want to release Barabbas. They don't want Jesus. You just go in the Walmart and then you begin to share your faith. They might call 911. What's that? 911. They might. It's not like in Uganda where you see younger people on the street in the traffic jam in the morning. You can meet a younger man or a younger woman. As you go to job, your place of work, Jesus loves you. Or as they come back in the evening, welcome back from your work, but Jesus loves you. And they don't call 911. Say amen. But from that beginning, you see, Jesus, when you read all the stories of Jesus Christ, you see an amazing man who was compassionate, who was a miracle worker. But why did they say, crucify him? And because of that, you will see that we are experiencing things like these ones. I just mentioned a few. Emotional wounds. If you understand the spiritual warfare, you will know how to address spiritual wounds. You will not point to your neighbor and you say, "You are the cause." You will know how to fight the battle properly. Discouragement. Depression. Is it true that Americans are depressed? I don't think somebody driving a big car and is depressed. Defeat, conflict, abuse, moral wounded or wounds, lack of control of passion. And many, you can mention many. These are the effect of what went wrong. Say amen. People commit suicide. So I want to thank God for Pastor for coming up with this type of series of talking about spiritual warfare. I believe in counselors. But counselors may not help. They might give good advice on these points which I've just mentioned. And good is always an enemy of best. So the best advice, the best counselors are here. And don't throw stones on me if you are a counselor, a qualified counselor. But a fact has to be spoken. Say amen. When you go to a counselor, he may not address the issue of suicide, anxiety, depression, discouragement. The other day I was in a church, a certain church, and I was praying for people. A lady came and she said, you know, I don't want to pray for somebody except the Holy Ghost has revealed me a prayer point. But usually I want to talk with the person first. What do you want to pray for? So I asked the lady, what do you want to pray for? She said, I don't have a sleep. I don't sleep. At night I don't sleep. I don't think that is a counselor can take you through a series of whatever and then you're delivered from that. Say amen. I prayed. I'm waiting for testimonies. Say amen. So, when we came to know the Lord and believed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, some of us, we thought that because Jesus said, it is finished, everything is what? It's a done deal. Sure, partly it is a done deal. But we just joined another battle. Say amen. We joined another battle. Which we have to accomplish by being faithful in doing what I call spiritual habits. How do we fight this? How do we deal with the spiritual warfare? One answer I would say is that you know, you fight from the right position. You know your identity in Christ. Because in Christ, we are conquerors. The Bible doesn't even say conquerors. We are even more than conquerors. So you have to know that you are a winner. Then secondly, you have to realize that it is not that somebody you are blaming who is the trouble causer. There is a battle. There is an enemy who is always crying to release Barnabas and then crucify Christ. He doesn't want you to succeed. Jesus talked about him in John chapter 10 that he came to do three things. He came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And once he does that, he's at work. Have you ever been on the road and then you meet a sign post saying men are at work. Have you ever been? Yeah, even the devil is at work. He's at work. So that's why we need always to be, spiritually fit as we do our physical exercises. Let us continue to do our spiritual exercises. They will help us to remain fit so that when the enemy comes, you are strong. I want to remind you that he at one time even wanted to attempt to tempt Christ himself. The enemy knows scriptures. The enemy knows scriptures. And if he meets somebody who is not well versed in doing that spiritual exercise of reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, then he will just trick a bit and it looks as though it's right. Because the work of the enemy is to counterfeit what is right. Some of the subjects, we understand them in Africa because we came from some backgrounds like that. And we have seen that. A good example is witchcraft. In America, there is no witchcraft. But in Africa, there is witchcraft. When we talk about Jesus Christ being a king, for us, we understand that. Why? We have kings. Did you meet a king in Ghana? But they talked about that. Yeah. That's why sometimes we bow down. Why? Because we bow down to our earthly kings. That's how we do it. Except me, I'm no longer doing that. And we're now a new creature. But they bow down exactly. And you'll find sometimes people in the church doing that also, during the time of praise and worship. Say amen. 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 So let us improve our lifestyle in the spiritual exercises. What are they? What are the spiritual exercises? Prayer, fasting, fellowshipping, meditation, or meditating on God's word. Praise, worship, to mention a few, giving. Those are spiritual exercises which enables us to be steady, so that when the enemy comes, we have strength to stand. Because in the book of Ephesians, it talks about finally. That's how it begins, verse 10. Finally, which means that it has been a longer story. From chapter 1 up to chapter 6, there are many things which have been addressed. And then he talks about, finally. One of them, he says that we need to stand. There is no way you can stand if you are not physically fit. Say amen. Myself, personally, I have a challenge of this certain disciplines. One of the disciplines is just to make exercises. These physical exercises. I have a challenge. And I know I'm supposed to do them. But just to wake up and then you begin doing like this, an old man. I look at that and then I say, I have work to do, and then I go. Not knowing I'm weakening my
body.
So if we want to, to pull out our spiritual muscles, let us engage in daily or routine physical exercises. You can call them even disciplines. Say amen. Because in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, he says, having done it all, stand. There's no way you can stand when you are not strong. And this is strength. You cannot get them by eating a big burger. Two of them. Yeah, I was flying sometime from Minnesota, I think, to Pennsylvania, to Philadelphia. So we stopped at Newark. I was hungry. I ordered two burgers. Then they gave me a bill of about $27. I said, okay, no, give me one. Because of the money. Say amen. Amen. So in the book of Ephesians, he mentions what the tactics which we have to do or which we have to employ, putting on the belt of truth in verse 14. And you can bring a fact to on that point, on that verse in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the light. And John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And having the knowledge of truth, that is Jesus, prepares us for the battle that lies ahead of us. Then another point is the breastplate of righteousness. And when we are talking about that, our integrity needs to be safe from attack. In righteousness, we shall be established. That's what the Bible teaches. You shall be far from oppression if you keep yourself righteous. Say amen. That is, I was reading Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14 and 15. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. There's another point, sandals of the gospel of peace. So with our shoes on, we are ready to move out. We are prepared to spread the good news, that is the gospel, which brings the ultimate peace of the world. And when we do that, remember, it's talking about the gospel, the sandals of the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace, not the gospel of battle or war, but the gospel of peace. Then it talks about the shield of faith. The shield of faith was used to stop things like arrows by the enemy. If our faith is firm, rooted in Christ, there is nothing the enemy can do to us. Say amen. And without faith, of course, it is impossible to please God. And we do everything by faith. Everything we do it by faith. And without it, there is no way we can please God. He talks about the element of salvation. Our salvation means the forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God, and the gift of grace and eternal life. All those are found in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Then, as I wind up, the word of God, the only offensive weapon that a believer has is the word of God. And that weapon has more than enough power to wound and defeat the enemy. So that's why we need to always have a time to dig in the word of God. Find a time. Read it by yourself. Sit down and let others read it for you. Sit and hear others talk, preach, or teach about the word of God. Because it is the best weapon you can think of. Say amen. I want to conclude by saying, regardless to what I've mentioned, what I've talked about, we are always more than conquerors. As long as we are in Christ, we are more than conquerors. We can win the spiritual battle. Let us not engage, a war between one another. Let us stop making what we call the blame game, blaming. I wouldn't be like this, but this person. I wouldn't be like this, but the other person. No. Do your part, and God is going to do his part. Jesus is going to do his part. That is some few points I thought that I can add to what is going on as far as spiritual battle is concerned. I want to remind you that the enemy is not pleased with you. He's not always is pleased with you. So that is why you need to engage in a spiritual war. Spiritual war. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for the few words you gave me for your saints as we remember Palm Sunday, which is going to take us to the celebrations of the victory of the empty tomb. I want to thank you for the reason why you came on this earth. Because you came to establish the church. The words which you spoke to Peter about the church were that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. And those words puts us on a sure foundation that when we are in you, Christ Jesus, we are on the winning side. Amen. Any war, any spiritual war, we can overcome as long as we are dressed, fully dressed, according to Ephesians chapter 6. And I pray that my brothers and sisters, as they begin this week, help them to redo the spiritual exercise where they have been losing heart. Let them gain more strength so that they pray, fast, congregate, read the Bible, do those spiritual exercises so that they keep them, their spiritual life strong, so that when the enemy comes, they are able to stand and face the enemy. Thank you, Lord, in Christ Jesus. Amen.